Let's take out our Bibles and put over the book of Deuteronomy. You know, in the final quarter of this year, we usually have our in-depth Bible teaching, and this year we're going to be studying the book of Deuteronomy. So in preparation for that, I've been going ahead and reading a lot of the book and various commentaries on it, and I came across a lesson on the internet, which was based on one of the passages in Deuteronomy 15, which I really liked, and so I thought I'd share it with you this morning. It's a lesson entitled The Mark of a Servant. Deuteronomy chapter 15, we're going to pick up in verse 12. One night, a teenage girl brought a new boyfriend home to meet her parents. And the parents were kind of a little bit shocked by his appearance. He was, you know, wearing a leather jacket, motorcycle boots. He had tattoos all over his body and piercings all over his... He had ears pierced, nose pierced, and tongue pierced, and everything else. And the mother diplomatically pulled her daughter aside and said, "Dear, he doesn't seem very nice." And the daughter replied to the mum. She said, "Well, if he wasn't nice, why would he be doing 500 hours of community service?" You know, the mother made a judgment based on external appearances. And, you know, we can often do that. But there was a mark, an external mark, that was placed on a person's body so that they could be identified. And that we see here in Deuteronomy 15. In verse 12 it says, "If a fellow Hebrew, a man or a woman, sells himself to you and serves you 6 years, in the seventh year, you must let him go free. And when you release him, do not send him away empty-handed. Supply him liberally from your flock, your threshing floor, and your wine press. Give to him as the Lord your God has blessed you. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. That is why I give you this command today. But if the servant says to you, 'I do not want to leave you,' because he loves you and your family and is well off with you, then take an awl and push it through his earlobe into the door, and he will become your servant for life. Do the same for your maidservant." You know, in our society, if a person is in poverty or financial hardship, they can always go on welfare or benefits. In those days, they didn't have a welfare system, but God was very concerned about the poor. And in fact, he had many provisions to help the poor and needy in that day and age and in that society. You know, God commanded his people to be compassionate with the poor. He even had particular laws so that, you know, if you owned fields and you were harvesting your fields, you weren't allowed to harvest right up to the edge of your fields. You had to leave that so that the poor and needy could then later go around the edges and collect whatever was left over from the harvest. And in fact, when you harvested your fields, you could only do it once and not a second time to get anything you may have missed. So again, the poor and needy would be able to go ahead and help themselves to any leftovers that they can find. You know, God also commanded that from the temple, the tithes that were brought to the temple, a portion of that had to be given and set aside for the poor and those who were struggling financially. And, you know, so there are many provisions in the Old Testament to help those who were in need. And that's the heart of God. But if all those failed to meet your needs, let's say you're in so much debt that all those measures didn't help, then there was another solution, and that was that you could indenture yourself. You could sell yourself into slavery to a fellow countryman, and so you would then become their slave, but it wasn't to be permanent. It was meant to be for 6 years, and then on the seventh year they were to let you go free. And when they let you go free, they were to give you not just send you away empty-handed, but also to give you something to take with you and to bless you, because God wanted to remind them how he had set them free from slavery and how God had released them from being slaves. But if the slave then decides, well, actually, I've got a really nice position here, and he really likes being with that family and he likes being with them, and he decides, you know what, I don't really want to go free, because When I've gone free, I've messed up my life, I've got into debt, and all my needs are taken care of, I get fed, I get clothed, and you know what, and I really love the family, then they could choose at that point, instead of being set free, they could choose to make it a permanent position. And the way that that was made permanent was they would have a mark placed on their body. And so what the Bible says is that they were to get, the master would then take an awl and get the servant to come up and put his mark through the servant's ear. Do you know what an awl is? Awl, A-W-L. When I was at school, we had a subject at school called manual, and that included woodwork and metalwork, and sometimes we worked with leather as well. And an awl was like a nail on a stick, on a handle that you use to punch holes. And you could use it to put holes through leather, or you could use it to make a hole in a piece of wood before you start drilling or hammering. It essentially would be like this. This would be a nail, and you'd have a handle like this. So just for demonstration purposes, this is what it would be like this, with a big nail sticking out. And what they would do is they'd get the servant to come up, and can I get a volunteer, just so I can show you what they would do? Alex, do you want to come up and... Okay? So if Alex... You haven't had your ears pierced, have you? No? Not yet. Okay. And so what they would do then is they would take the servant, and they would grab them by the earlobe. That's a pierce. No, it's not pierced. And then they would put them against the door post, and so we're going to do that now, and I'll show you what we'll do. What a violent thing! And they would take it and then they would bash it through and then it would leave a mark. You know, it's interesting because I don't know about you, but I don't want to put any holes in my body that God didn't design to be there. You know, when my brother, I remember as a kid growing up, my brother came home and he had his ear pierced. I was like, what? And I think I must have been about 12 or 13 when he did that. I thought, you are crazy. And then he went and got his nose pierced. And then he went and got something else pierced, and then he went and got his tongue pierced, and I was like, you are out of your... And then he got a tattoo, and I... You know what? I thought to myself, nothing is worth that amount of pain. I don't care. But here, if the servant decided, I want to stay, then this is what they went to... what they went through. And it was a mark that was left, and it was the mark of a servant. So how does all of this apply to us? Look over in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 10. In Romans 10 and verse 9, we read that if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your mouth, with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You know, if we want to be Christians, if we want to be part of Jesus' family, the church, then we can have a voluntary choice to make, and that is to call Jesus Lord. In that day and age, when someone was your Lord, it meant that they were your master. You know, in John 13, where Jesus says, you call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, because that is what I am, and he just finished washing their feet, and he said to them, you need to do what I have done. No servant is above his master. When someone was the Lord, they had complete control over your life. When someone was your master, it meant that they determined how you spent your time. They determined what work you did. They determined where you got to sleep, where you got to live. They literally owned you. And you see, for us to become Christians, we have to make that choice. It's an all or nothing proposition. It's not I'll be a servant part of the time, I'll be a Christian Monday to Saturday, or on Sunday, and then Monday, Saturday is my own, or... No, it's an all or nothing situation. Jesus was Lord. You know, the Greek word for servant, doulos, actually means slave. And that's what we are. We become slaves to Christ because we have a choice. Either we can be slaves to the world and to our sinful desires, or we can be slaves to God. But either way, we're all going to be slaves. And we have a choice to make. And what, in the Old Testament, God had them set free their slaves because he wanted them to remember that they used to be slaves, but God's purpose and plan was for them to be set free. But if that slave decided, I love this family and I want to stay with this family, then they had to have the mark and they had to have their ears pierced. You know, it was encouraging just to be able to witness and see Daniel get baptized. And, you know, we were studying the Bible just over a week ago where we were just talking about what that really means and counting the cost and just understanding just the permanency of this decision and how it will affect every other choice that he makes for the rest of his life. It'll affect where he lives. It'll affect how he spends his money, how he spends his time. It'll affect who he marries. It will affect everything. And that's the conversation, and that's the study that we have with everyone who wants to become a Christian in this church, is to understand what it really will take to follow Christ. That when we become Christians, we are saying Jesus is Lord, we are giving over everything that we are and all of our possessions, including all our relationships. That no longer do we, not even ourselves, you know, even our children. We had this baby dedication ceremony yesterday for Jasmine Sultanzi. And Jasmine is the cutest little girl, and she's just so adorable. But part of the ceremony was, we were talking about just how, that what they were really doing was acknowledging that Jasmine isn't really their own, that Jasmine, it belongs to God. And because Jasmine belongs to God, that means that they have to behave in certain ways. If you borrow something of mine, I hope that you take care of it. I hope you return it at some point, but I hope you take care of it. And, you know, one of the brothers came up to me in the fellowship today and said, oh, I've got a book, and it's yours, and I brought it with me, I'm going to return it. I was like, may God bless you. But, you know, if you borrow something, you want to treat it carefully, don't you? Don't you hate it if you lend someone something and they don't take care of it? You think, wow, maybe it's just me, but you know, you just want them to protect it, you want them to look after it. The same is true with everything that we own, it's no longer ours anymore. When we become Christians, we acknowledge everything we have, it belongs to God. That means with our children, we have to raise them the way that God would have them raised. That means we have to discipline them the way God would have us discipline them. It means that we have to love them the way God would have us love them. It also means that we need to set the example that God would have us set. Because it's out, they're only ours temporarily. We need to make sure we are doing it right. When we become Christians, we turn over everything, including our dreams and our ambitions. We say, God, whatever you think is best, that is what I will pursue. And so never then is it a question of, okay, how am I going to spend my time? It's, no, how would God have me spend my time? It's never a question of, okay, when am I going to go to church this week? How do I feel? That's not even an issue. Because where God's body is, we're all the members of that body are there. Will I share my faith this week or not? That's not even an issue. Because we are Jesus' body, we do what the head tells us to do, which is the mission for which we've been called. And so all these things, do I give contribution or not? Well, of course, that's not even an issue because it's not our money in the first place. The only question isn't how much money do I give back to God. The only question is how much do I use to spend on myself to sustain me. Everything is God's, and we need to keep everything in perspective and remember. You know, why did God have the servant's ear pierced? A woman was speaking to her husband at dinner table. She said, you know, our son, getting him up for school in the morning is so much easier since he had that nose ring put in. You know, the son may not want to listen to his mother tell him to get up for school, but she could definitely make him feel her urgency and her eagerness. And you know, having the servant in becoming a permanent slave to the family was saying, I will listen and obey. That now I am absolutely, I will hear and obey. That's what it means when we become Christians. You know, Jesus in Luke chapter 6, look over there in Luke 6. In verse 46, Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Now, we can come up with all kinds of creative arguments and rationales for why we do something different than is written about in the Word of God. We can come up with traditions. We can come up with what our parents taught us. We can come up with popular religious beliefs. We can come up with our own particular circumstances and say, well, you don't understand, my situation is different because, and we can come up with all the exceptions we like. But at the end of the day, if Jesus is Lord, then this is our instruction book. Whatever the Bible says, this is what we have to follow. And we can't make things up and say, well, I'll do it a different way. Nor can we say, well, I'll only do this, that, or the other. You know, some people, when it comes to Christianity, they take the salad bar approach. This week, you know, we went out to celebrate Hannah's results, that she got into the university of her choice. And so we went to the Harvester. And in the Harvester, they've got the salad bar there. And at the salad bar, you can go up and help yourself as many times as you like. And they've got all these different choices. And, you know, I went up to the salad bar, and I like sweet corn, so I got lots of sweet corn. And I got some lettuce and some tomatoes, and I held back on the dressing, because that's very fatty, and I'm trying to lose some weight. And I held back on the croutons, but I added a few potatoes there, and a little bit of coleslaw, just a little bit of moisture there. And I avoided the onions altogether, because I figured I wanted to be sensitive to the people I was eating with. Some people take that approach to Christianity. They read things in the Bible and they see things that the scriptures teach. They think, yes, that's right, this is good. Forgiveness of sins, I like that. And they'll give themselves a double portion. Things like, you know, mercy and grace. Oh, fantastic. An abundant life and joy. And, oh, excellent, I love that. Loving the poor. Okay, I'll have a little bit of that. Loving your enemies? Nah, I don't think that sits very well with me. And not gossiping? I'll come back to that in a bit. And they pick and choose which parts they want to follow. But what they're really doing is they're not following the Word of God. They're following their own desires, and the Bible just happens to agree at certain points. That's not Christianity. And neither is that making Jesus Lord. You know, we can become spiritual hitchhikers. You know, spiritual hitchhikers, you know what a hitchhiker is, right? They hold out their thumb, they wait for a car to give them a lift, and if the car's going where they want to go, excellent. They don't do any of the driving, they don't do any of the pay for the petrol, they don't service the car, they just get the lift. And so long as it's going where they want to go, they're happy. And we can do that in church. We can come to church, and so long as the church is meeting our expectations and needs, then we can feel fine about tagging along. But in terms of offering to contribute towards the costs, or to take over some of the chores, or to do some of the work, nah, I'm just here for the ride. And we can easily fall into that category. And yet, that way is not left open to us if we are called to be servants. So why would someone voluntarily allow their ear to be pierced? Well, you know, we read back in Deuteronomy 15 what he says there. If the servant, at the end of 6 years, decides, you know, he doesn't want to go, and he decides, actually, no, I want to stay with this family, look what it says in verse 16. He says, but if your servant says to you, I do not want to leave you because he loves you and your family and is well off with you, then he allows himself to be pierced. You know, the reason we submit to Jesus is because of love. Jesus says in John 14, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. You know, the reason why we voluntarily follow his word and not our own opinions is because we love. And because we decide, God has blessed me, I'm well off with his family, his church, with his people, I don't want to go anywhere else. But the price is complete surrender. That's what it means to be a Christian. And you know, it's all well and good to say the words, I want to be a Christian, or to say Jesus Lord, but what it really comes down to is, what do you actually do? Do you obey? It's not about appearances, it's about what's really going on inside. And you can say, I love God, but it's not about what you say, it's what you do. You know, if you love someone, it comes out in your deeds. It comes out in the way you behave. And that's the mark of someone who is surrendered to Jesus. You know, when we decide to become Christians, we decide that we are going to be marked. And, you know, the way we're marked, the Bible tells us that God gives us a mark. When we're baptized, he gives us his Holy Spirit to mark us, to set us apart. And that Holy Spirit guides us and leads us. But we have to be surrendered and open. You know, the servant's ear was pierced when we became Christians. Do you remember having a part of your body pierced? You don't? That's because we weren't pierced. But someone was pierced on our behalf. Look over in Isaiah 53. In Isaiah 53, the Bible tells us in verse 3, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray, each has turned his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You know, when we became Christians, it wasn't us that got pierced. It was Jesus that got pierced. The Bible tells us that he was pierced when he was on the cross. He was pierced for our sins. He was pierced so that we could be a part of his family. He was pierced so that we could be permanently attached to him. And when we get baptized, Romans chapter 6 verse 4 tells us that when we're baptized, that we share in Jesus' death, his burial and resurrection. So we can be identified with that piercing. That our baptism is the point that we come into connection and to contact with the blood of Christ that was shed for us on the cross. And so Jesus' piercing is what enables us to become members of his household and members of his family. The marks that we should have borne were borne by Jesus. But the signs of our servanthood should be borne out by how we live our lives. That we listen to our master, that we hear and obey his voice. That we choose to follow him voluntarily because we love him. We're grateful for what he's done for us. And because of his sacrifice, and because of his suffering, that we can make it to heaven and be with him for all eternity. I want to encourage all of us today, let's live out the mark of a servant, the mark of a slave. Let's live out the mark of someone who is indentured to our Lord and Master, not in words, but in deeds. Amen.
Thanks a lot, Mike. I think for me, it's very hard to, in my personal life, to live out that spirit of my money is God's money, my time is God's time, to be able to say, okay, God, how do I use my time? because I'd like to have my own agenda first. Probably the way I do it is more to get my agenda than ask God to kind of bless it. Amen. This is what I've decided to do. Please bless it. Rather than, this is your time, what should I do with it? And let me encourage us all to get into the habit of that, because it's very healthy to ask God about your time, your money, who you marry, who you spend time with, your friendships, your work, where you live. You know, spend some time putting that before God. Thanks, Mike. Let's all stand. We'll have a final song, and then I encourage you to get your children. We're going to sing, I Hear, appropriately, I Hear God Singing to Me.